Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to tee off with Dirt and Sprague.
That's a great shot without swing.
This is an Open Championship Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club, the best course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
Open Championship Week with Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Cool on, my son. Get it out there. That's more like it.
The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. And it feels very weird to say that. It's been a long time.
What is happening?
Welcome back.
Hey, we're still alive. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, how you doing?
There's a couple of Miller High Lifes in here in the studio. We leave for a week. People are popping Miller High Lifes in the studio. What happened?
High Lifes on the desk. We got a Jeremy Piven poster. I don't know what's going on at the Fan right now, but we're back.
Where's the Jeremy Piven poster?
It's on the desk.
Oh, yeah. Jeremy Piven. Was he in studio on Friday? Or was that a phoner?
Friday morning in studio with Luke.
Jeremy Piven in studio with Luke Anderson Friday morning.
The one time a comedian is willing to come in studio is the one time we're not here.
While we were out, Luke Anderson ended up doing stand-up comedy for Jeremy Piven.
Also, is Jeremy Piven a comedian?
I think so.
He made me laugh in Entourage.
He did.
With the written lines that they provided him?
It was great in Entourage.
It made me laugh. I thought it was comedy.
Okay. All right. Comedic actor, comedian,
I actually always I always thought that he was more of a guy who played a very funny role on TV, but not a super funny guy off camera.
Yeah, comedic actor, stand-up comedian. Totally different scenario.
Yeah, he always felt like a very dramatic actor for me. Like, every time I saw an interview with him, he was very dry, very serious. I never knew that stand-up comedy was his thing, but maybe it is now.
Well, I think he got canceled.
Oh.
If I'm...
He got canceled?
I think he kind of got canceled, and then he... But, like, not all the way.
For the Ari Gold character?
No,
or for other stuff. Jeremy Piven was up to other stuff.
I might have this wrong. I might already be slandering.
I don't remember any of that.
You're on the right path. I don't know if you're fully there.
I think he
kind of
got canceled, and then he like didn't get all the way canceled, but like nobody really. I mean, when was the last time you saw him in something?
It's been a while since I've seen Jeremy Piven in
something. So I think he's like, all right, well, you know, I'm not, Ari Gold's not striking gold right now. I'm going to go into stand-up comedy.
Let's go ahead and jump back in. Because that's easy. Let's jump into those waters. That'd be great.
Yeah, either way, though, it's nice to be back.
It's good to be back. I was a week off.
Felt like more than a week.
It did feel like a long time.
Did you, I don't know if you reached what I would call Valhalla, where it was like the perfect sweet spot where it felt like forever. And also went by pretty quickly.
Yeah, it was a great combination.
Does that make sense?
It was, because we were busy. There was a holiday mixed in there. There was the 4th of July. Okay. So that was, hey, look at that. Happy 4th of July, everybody.
There we
missed you on the 4th of July. It was definitely a combination of, feels like I've been off for 6 months, but also last night, like, damn, I'm already going back to work. That went kind of quick.
It was exactly what I was thinking yesterday.
Like, as the week went on, it was like, oh, it's only Wednesday. I got another couple of more days before I got to go back. And people are texting me, when are you coming back on the show? It's like, I'll be back Monday. Don't worry about it. And then all of a sudden it dawned on you. We got to go back to work now.
I forget the name, but I met a very nice list. I met a few listeners during the break off, which is always great. But I somebody's like, hey man, I love the show. I was like, hey man, thanks. He goes, when are you coming back? I was like, I don't know if I am.
I might not, dude. I feel pretty good right now. I don't know if I want to go back to work.
My wife on Saturday was like, hey, you go back to work, because she heard a promo for the show when we were driving back from we would play pickleball till like 9:45 at night.
Yeah, look at you at 1080 P1 listening on a Saturday night.
Well, it was just on and I heard the promo and I'm like, this is awkward. So I turned it down and the wife's like, oh, you're going back soon. Are you ready? And I was like, I'm having a great time.
No, I'm kind of enjoying this, to be honest with you.
I played pickleball. I played golf. I went to the beach. I'm in the river. I'm in a lake. Yeah. Like, I'm having a good time.
Going to the pool every day.
Oh,
it's great.
Fantastic.
Dude. Going out to lunch, hanging out, sleeping in.
Taking care of a garden, helping my father-in-law with the shed. Right. Like, I'm doing all kinds of stuff.
You got time for activities right now.
That's good.
The most dangerous thing for me when I'm off for that amount of time is that after, first couple of days are always tough because you wake up early no matter what. But it doesn't take me that long to change my sleep cycle, and so I can get back into like a staying up late, sleeping in a little bit cycle if the kid allows me. Mm-hmm. And he ended up having a really good week of sleep, and so that was great for on vacation. I wasn't up in the middle of the night, but that's the danger for me being off for a week. Like by the time Thursday, Friday rolled around, no problem staying up late, no problem sleeping until like 7:30, 8 o'clock.
Yeah, you're in what I would call a trouble zone as a parent. I'm glad you brought this up organically, because Teddy Ballgame is over a year old.
Yes, he is. Year and a half.
He's a year and a half.
Year and a half, man.
And so he's well on his way to two.
How many months is he now? How many months old is he?
They like to say terrible twos. I think you could say terrible threes, fours, five, six, seven, eight, nine. It doesn't stop, dude. It's never going to stop.
I'd argue terrible ones have been a thing.
But the sweet spot and weird spot you're in is still waking up.
Yes.
He is about 6 months from he might wake up once, but that's just to come sleep in your bed.
Sure.
But it ain't to cry.
No.
And, I need milk.
He's just going to come wander on in the middle of the night.
It's a little patter. Feetsies. Yeah, he'd be scared. Oh, I got to go to mom and dad. And I'd nip that in the bud as soon as you can. But the trouble I was going to say is that's going to feel great for you. And that's also around the time that I think your second child conversation is going to start.
Sure.
And
then things get a little more difficult.
And then you're restarting this and you're going back to the crying baby thing.
Oh, no. Kid number two conversation has already begun.
I know it has. The
discourse is there. The dialogue is there. We're still in committee. We have not
left. You're embracing debate?
We're in committee. We have not left. We're not ready for a House floor vote yet. But we're deliberating. We're seeing what kind of pork we can put in the bill. You know, we're talking about things that are going to be needed and the costs and the expenses and all that. And essentially, you know what I am right now? I am, and maybe this isn't the right strategy long term, but in my head it is. I'm Jonathan Smith right now. We're milking the clock.
You're milking it.
We're milking the clock as long as we can milk
the
clock.
Well, you're
going to
lose.
I'm going to lose.
You're ultimately going to lose.
I've already accepted defeat in the battle, but it doesn't mean that I can't win a couple of small victories along the way.
Right.
And that I can't delay this thing as long as humanly possible.
You should create, you know what I've wanted to do, and I've talked about this with my wife. My daughter did this to us, and I got to give her credit. She did a really good job, and she ended up winning an argument. She made a PowerPoint presentation.
Did she really?
Of something she wanted. And she ended up getting it.
Dude, that's genius.
And so I was thinking, like, I want to do this, but I want to do this for something with my extended family, where me and my wife and her sisters and their families, we usually go on trips.
You want to be the couple in Couples Retreat.
Well, but we're not getting divorced.
Sure, it's not a marital problem.
Let's save our marriage.
Let's bring everybody together and look at this great island vacation.
But my PowerPoint would be trip with no cell phone.
Ooh.
You put it in a lockbox.
Ooh.
You can have it at the very end when you're going to bed.
Yeah.
But we're not walking around. We're not filming people at weird angles. We're not taking photos of half-eaten burgers. Like, none of that crap is happening. And that's my dream. I want to make a PowerPoint of this. I think you should make a PowerPoint.
Yeah.
And I think you, in one of the slides, you give great statistics of why the benefit of having one child trumps having two.
Yeah, see, and I know,
include the cost analysis in
the
that
cost
as
analysis,
well.
The cost plus analysis there is one of the key figures.
That's one of the top
in the negotiation tactics. The other one is, too, also like, hey, we're not that far away from preschool for kid number one. And by the time he's in preschool, do you know how much easier it will be to watch one kid at least for a chunk of the day at home than it would be two? And so we're not that far off. That's my whole argument right now. I'm not asking you to wait five more years. We don't need to be in our mid-40s here having another kid. But can I run out the clock a couple of more months? And so we're a little bit closer to preschool starting.
Now, how committed are you individually to two kids?
The idea of starting over is... We're kind of past that stage now, you know? I could, like, see a finish line.
You are feeling a sweet spot
like,
here.
Hey, we're close to no more diapers, and we're doing a little, we're functioning, and now we're saying words.
Yes.
And when I'm thirsty, I say, Wawa, I can hand you your water.
He's dunking a basketball.
He's dunking basketballs. We're encroaching on a fun period of time.
I know.
And then it's the whole thought of, wait a minute. You want me to go back to square one? You want me to go back to the beginning there?
Yep.
And I got to start that all over again.
And sometimes the second's worse than the first.
It very well could be. Mm. It very well could be. This is my nightmare. Mm. This is my nightmare.
Ask Ortner's parents. He was the worst.
Oh, absolutely the worst kid.
His brother was great.
Not still even hanging on. I'm eating all their food. He's going to go over there tonight. Eat more.
Hanging on, bilking off the parents, man. This is my nightmare. I'm going to have a Will Ortner.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no. You would be thrilled. Someone finally tall in your family.
That
great.
Is true. If I got a kid with your genes, I'd be pretty psyched about
it. Yeah, you wouldn't have to get on your tippy toes to get the cereal from the top of the Safeway.
You could break the cycle of shortness in my family. It'd be wonderful.
Oh, man. I feel
so,
for
you. You know, we're doing that. That's how things are going right now in
there
our
was
household.
Surprisingly, a lot that happened while we were out.
There really was.
Like on Tuesday last week, maybe it was Wednesday. You know what? I don't know. It was one of the early days last week. I remember opening the phone and I'm like, ah, what's happening today? Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Whoa.
And then I was like, those are good topics whoever's doing the shows.
We could be talking about those. I'm going to save those for a week from now. Let's do four segments on what we missed while we were on vacation. What do you think? Big 12 Media Day audio. Do you want to go through that?
I think that's one of my favorite radio host bits in the industry is when a host is out for an extended period and it's like, coming up next, everything I missed.
You could tell about the extended vacation seeping into the
it
prep time
the prep
and like,
show,
I don't really feel like prepping for tomorrow's show. I've been on vacation for a week. Let's talk about things that happened last week.
Coming up next, Deion Sanders steps in it last Wednesday.
Can you
we
believe
talk about it on a Monday?
Last Tuesday, this happened in the NBA. What? No way!
Scott Frost hates his alma mater.
Yeah, how about Scott Frost taking shots? Old Nebraska.
Yeah.
He's not going to be invited back to the 1997 title championship parade anytime soon, I'd imagine.
A weird decision by him to do that.
Yeah, you could just kind of take the high horse on your way out.
You got the buyout, buddy.
You got $35 million to not work anymore.
You had a free education. You got God knows what as a player when you were dominating.
Yes.
And then you got the buyout because they brought you back as the prodigal son. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I just...
Just hold it.
Hold
take
it.
The blame.
I
you
failed.
You clearly were to blame.
I screwed up. I should have been better. It didn't work out. I'm glad to be back at Central Florida.
Exactly. That's all you need to say.
Very easy answer.
Sorry it didn't work out. I still love you.
I love you. We won a national championship together in 1997. Well, kind of, because it was a half of a title.
Now I'm in our old conference, and you're in a different conference, and we've moved on from one another.
That's
it's not
right.
very hard.
That's one of those teams I always forget about in conference realignment. Central Florida and the Big 12 is one that's going to take
they
a while.
Their way in.
It's going to take a while to sink in for me.
I saw a thing while I was on vacation that said Jensen Huang is now like NVIDIA's worth $4 trillion.
Let's go, Beavs are back.
And all I thought was like, dude, it cost you nothing to your life.
$50 million. That's all we're asking for.
How about $150 million? Get us in a conference.
Buy our way.
Blow up this new Pac-12. Get me in that Big 12.
I don't want to be in there. Or poach schools away to the new Pac-12.
Yeah, rebuild. Where's Memphis? Go buy them.
Yeah, go buy Memphis Tulane.
Get them in there.
Now we're talking.
Go steal a big time conference team too. Who's a garbage ass Big Ten team that would love to leave?
Ooh,
because you could get Cal Stanford. You could easily.
Cal
you know,
Stanford would, yeah, take it in a
you
heartbeat.
You could talk them into this.
If you paid for it, there's somebody in the Big Ten that would bolt. There's
who's the
be
Big Ten team that makes the most sense?
As long as you're willing to make the economics match,
because
that's the biggest thing. Maryland would be pretty funny, although I think they'd prefer to be in the ACC for football reasons. Like Northwestern, what's Northwestern doing? They're never going to win anything.
No, never.
Minnesota's never winning a conference championship.
I'd love to. I'm trying to get PJ Fleck on the show again this year.
They'll come row the boat with you.
Oh
great little
God,
stadium.
Jay
fun
rocks.
City
PJ
to go,
so great.
Go visit that city, right? It's
yeah.
a great place to go.
Minneapolis is a really good road destination.
Yeah. I think Purdue would be listening to your offer, too. Our coach just sucked. He got fired. We had
whooped
to hire
Purdue's
the guy.
Ass. I don't know if I want that.
You don't want that? It's too much of a bottom feeder for
give
you?
Give me a better team.
You want a better team than that?
Yeah, give me more of a challenge.
I mean, UCLA should accept the invite, but they're probably
yeah,
stupid
that,
and they wouldn't because we want to be with USC. We're a big boy, too.
$4 trillion is just mind-blowing.
Yeah, that's got to be like the feeling of having very rich parents that don't want to give you any money because it's there.
Yeah.
You know, it's like...
He's hey, given the university money.
He has.
He's not a sports guy.
To the things that people don't care about, like academics.
Less leather jackets, more Oregon State football-based related donations.
We could be a powerhouse in every sport if you just opened up the pocketbook.
I also didn't know if we'd come in today with any Epstein news.
You want to talk about the files?
I mean, you everybody else is.
You got a binder over there? You got them? Huh?
I'm not promising to have them and then telling you I don't have them.
Are you
suddenly
in them? Are we in them? We're not in them, are we?
Are they real or are they not real? I couldn't decide because the narrative was they weren't real.
I go either way at this point.
And then it turned into they were made by my enemies. And I was like, are they real or are they made by your enemy?
I think
which
they're
one
fake.
Is
they're real. They're fake. Fake. Real. Real fake.
They're on your desk or are they not on your desk?
They could be there. You never know.
Jeremy Piven's on my desk.
Jeremy Piven is on the desk, as is a Miller High Life.
I saw from my email Luke did perform at his show. Does anybody know how that went?
I kind of want video of it.
Yeah.
I'd love to play
That'd
it on.
That'd be pretty awesome.
If I were him, I'd want audio of it and play it on one of my shows that
now,
I do.
Now, we've known, I would say this. I think we've known Luke long enough to say this confidently. Luke knew he was teeing up getting himself on that show going into that interview,
he
right?
He went in with a goal in mind
he
in that
did,
interview,
right?
And he accomplished
Am
that
I
goal.
Am I wrong?
You know, I used to do stand-up comedy.
What? No way! I just want to know if he felt like he knocked it out of the park.
That was me.
I'm going to text him.
When we went to Vegas in 2019,
oh God, this...
thinking to myself that Kevin Todd's going to give me 10 grand.
It was 2016, dude.
Was it that long ago? 2016?
That was the last year the Steelers won a playoff game.
That's right. They were in the AFC title game.
Yeah,
that's right.
They won the AFC title game.
That was me. I went into that trip thinking I'm going to find a way to get this guy to give me like 10 grand to gamble on in Vegas. It didn't work out, but I went in with a goal.
You didn't even ask.
I know I didn't. That's a big ask.
Chicken ass.
Hey, you got, how many chips you got over there? They didn't make a lot of money that weekend. They could have afforded 10 grand for me.
They did.
Or
yeah.
A little Dirt could have taken your money.
Oh, Little Dirt and Sprague.
Little Dirt and Sprague running around.
Hanging out with Jay Moyer. High on drugs.
Hell of a time, man.
All right. Well, it's going to be a good show today. I'm sad that Swag's not in just because we haven't worked with Swag in a long time, but I'm happy to have Ortner in. Ortner was hammered on our gambling show yesterday.
Was not. On a Sunday night? You got 100%. Hammered on a Sunday night?
No,
with Ortner?
No, I wasn't. No, I was not.
Did we need an intervention? Do you have a
no,
problem?
No, there
he
was a
like
camping
every
trip.
Character in nope. That 70s show when they're at the table sharing thoughts.
Well, they're not hammered when they're doing that.
Yeah. So you were high as a kite on the gambling show last night?
No.
Bloodshot eyes? Well,
No. I am very swollen. Oh, it was a rough drinking weekend.
What?
I don't know. I can't put my shoes on, dude.
I don't think we need any more information on that one.
I didn't know that you swelled up when you drink a lot. I didn't know that.
I don't have that problem.
I don't
But
either.
I also don't drink a lot.
You swell up when you drink a lot?
Apparently I do. And I need Tums now if I'm going to drink.
God, you're getting old quick.
Well,
dude.
The Tums, yeah, that is.
I didn't
given,
know that.
But yeah. Swelling up.
You know there's a max of those you can eat, by the way?
Yes, there is.
Found
shouldn't
that
take,
out.
Shouldn't take the whole tub.
I think it's a recommended do not exceed. I don't know if it's a max. You know what I mean?
Well,
it's like Tylenol
it
and ibuprofen.
Exceeded.
Like, you probably shouldn't do
don't
more
do
than
like 8 of these.
8 in 24 hours is probably too much.
Potentially got exceeded.
All right, well, let's get it going. We have a lot of sports to talk about. The fever is hanging over this city in a way that we could have predicted it on Friday. Oh, I'm so excited to talk
about it. Most obvious thing.
The most
that
obvious.
Anybody could have seen coming.
Ooh-wee.
Transpired over the weekend.
All right, let's get it going. Dirt and Spray, good to be back. We start next on The Fan.
Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday you'll hear us and see us chatting with big name celebrities.
And every Monday you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
SEC Media Days are kicking off. Greg Sankey is currently at the podium saying God knows what about how this conference is the best conference and everybody else pales in comparison.
Yeah, I'll paraphrase for you. We're God's gift to football. We're going to win every national championship. We deserve 9 spots in the college football playoff. Bend the rules to favor us.
Don't forget the other quote. We've helped ruin the sport, but it's not my responsibility to care about that.
It's not my fault the Pac-12 died.
So we may get some stuff out of SEC Media Day. I just think in general, seeing Media Days, Big 12 was nice. That was good. You got SEC. The ACC is going to start. And you got the Big 10 is last.
Yeah.
I think in general, just seeing the SEC logo, it's like, oh, my God. Football is almost here.
That's the part of it that gets exciting. There's not a lot that comes out of Media Days. You know, the interviews can be fun. When we get people from time to time or in years past when we've done Media Day shows, they've been really enjoyable. But it's just football being on your television.
Yeah.
Kind of. Right. Not fully football, but there's highlights. People are talking about the year. You realize we're like 6 weeks away from this thing beginning.
Which makes me kind of sad because I'm really enjoying my summer.
Summer's almost over, dude.
Yeah.
Milk it while it lasts.
It really is.
It's going quick.
Midway point tomorrow.
What did I tell you? It's going fast, man.
So I come back and there's a lot of sports that have happened and news that's happened. And I come back and it's like, oh, hey, all that stuff was last week.
It was all last week.
We want you to open Monday.
Oh, what do we got? Big topic of the day.
MLB All-Star break.
Let's go, baby.
Debate and anger
Ooh.
Over a player being added to the All-Star roster.
The Miz.
This
shows how out of tune of baseball I am. I had no clue who this guy was. Randomly turned on a game because I was bored last week,
mm-hmm.
and they were playing the Dodgers, and he just happened to be pitching, and I'm like, damn, dude, this guy's, who the hell is this guy? I never heard of him before. He's unbelievable. And then I saw he made the All-Star team.
Now, I don't know if I'm saying his last name correctly, because all I've heard him reference as is The Miz, which is also a wrestler, so it's kind of confusing in some ways.
Yes, it is.
Jacob Mizorowski?
Mizorowski? I think it's Roski, I think.
Rao or Ra?
Ra. Mizorowski. I thought.
Ortner's a degenerate. He's not helping at all.
No. He's hungover.
I have a. I'm not hungover. I have a Hawkinson accent, and you don't need me trying to pronounce things.
Yeah, because that's a thing.
What's the Hawkinson accent?
Means I mess people's names up, and instead of saying sorry, I blame my accent.
Oh, okay. That's a good call.
He
has made just 5 starts for the Brewers.
5 starts.
He's replacing my boy, Matty Boyd.
He is.
Did you see Matty Boyd's last outing, by the way?
Matt Boyd's had a hell of a year, man.
Dude,
what a cool resurgence of his career.
A great career he has had in Major League Baseball, under the radar Beaver. He had 8 shutout innings at Yankee Stadium.
Yep.
Like, that has to be a top 3 moment of your life.
I would imagine so. He's had a good MLB career.
Yes,
but
yes.
He's been around a long time. To see him have this kind of year this late in his career is pretty badass.
But, so this Mizorowski guy is going to replace Boyd. He's an amazing young pitcher.
Yes, he is.
But he's made just 5 starts. This has pissed off multiple Philadelphia Phillies.
The Phillies are not happy about
it. Trey Turner said it's a joke. He said it's effing terrible. I mean, what? That's terrible, dude. And then Castellanos added that it's turning into the Savannah Bananas adding this guy.
I mean, let's calm down here, okay? Look, we love you. You hit home runs in really awkward, funny moments. And for that, Castellanos, we will always be a big fan of yours. Why don't we stay in our own lane here?
This is also
not the Savannah Bananas.
They were also arguing for Ranger Suarez and Christopher Sanchez as
I'm going to go ahead and go out on a limb here. And maybe I'm out of pocket, and maybe most of America has not heard of Mizorowski, the Miz, out of Milwaukee, like me, until you watch him pitch, and then you'll be blown away with how good he is. Nobody wants to see Ranger Suarez pitch in the All-Star game.
This kid is 4-1 with a 2.83 ERA and 5 starts.
I mean, I'm not kidding you. I had not heard of him before. I don't follow prospects the way that I used to in baseball.
Sure.
I'm not quite as glued into the sport as I used to be.
He's 6'7". He throws 99.
He looks like he's 12. Have you seen a picture of him? I turn on the game and I'm like, who the hell is this kid on the mound for the Brewers? That was my first thought. And then he's shoving like 97 moving cutters and two seamers and striking everybody out and just dominating the Dodgers. And I was blown away. And then I looked up, you know, who he was and his prospect ranking. I'm like, damn, this guy's like the golden child of the Milwaukee Brewers organization. It is absolutely hilarious to me to see a sport go through this after we spent years saying, what did Major League Baseball do to grow in popularity? Promote their stars, promote their young players, give guys a platform to be seen. How many people around the country are watching Milwaukee Brewer baseball games?
Not a lot.
Not a lot of people, right? And if I didn't randomly stumble on one, I still would have never seen him pitch and been like, who's this kid for the Brewers? How the hell did he make the All-Star game? This is exactly what baseball needs to be doing. We did this last year with Paul Skeens, and nobody cared because he had Libby Dunn on his arm, and she was hanging out in the stands looking hot, and everybody's like, this is great. He's in the All-Star game. That was 11 starts. Is there a big difference between 5 and 11? 11's acceptable. 5 is inexcusable because this guy has some of the best stuff in the sport, and you should be promoting your young stars.
Skeens, by the way, fun fact, last year by the All-Star break, he was 4-1 with a 1.9 ERA.
Yeah.
He is now at the All-Star break this year. He's going to start. He's 4-8 with a 2 ERA.
He has not won a game.
He's not gotten worse
almost
any way, and yet his record is terrible.
He has a 1.2 ERA in the month of July. Not long, only 14 days. 1.2 ERA in July. He has not won a game since May.
I'm trying to find. I had a stat.
He has not won a start since May.
Here it is.
That's truly depressing.
This is. I texted this to Ortner last week, actually. Uh-huh. I saw this. Only pitchers in Major League Baseball history to record a 19-start span with a sub-2 ERA, 90-plus strikeouts, and fewer than 5 wins are DeGrom and Skeens.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So even Mariner fan that's like, Felix 2.0. It's like, no, he's actually in a worse situation than somehow Felix was.
Felix could find a way to at least like be above 500.
And barely. When he won the Cy Young, I think he was 13-12.
He was like 13-12, I think, the year he won the Cy Young. But still, at least he was like, at least had a puncher's chance. He was never going to win 20 because their team was too bad. But this is a whole different level, dude.
Oh my God.
He hasn't won a game since May. He's 4-8. If I told you your starting pitcher's record's 4-8, you'd think, that guy must suck.
Yeah.
He's got one of the best ERAs in the entire sport. It's depressing.
Now, there was a video that went viral a few weeks ago that was like a gal talking WNBA, and she was like, would Haley Van Lith even be in the NBA if she had 10,000 Instagram followers? And then people were like, no, she wouldn't. And then that did not age. People got upset by that comment. And that lady ended up, to her credit, apologizing and saying, I probably shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry. No disrespect, man.
So basically saying the only reason she's on a team is because she's got a big social media following and she's kind of hot.
Well, I'm just asking, like, do you think that's what sports is and has been? Or... I'm not saying this Miz kid isn't deserving.
Sure.
But to the Phillies players, to play devil's advocate, it is only 5 stars.
It's only 5 stars, sure.
So is this about...
To me, it's about capitalizing on one of your young stars. And for that, it's incredibly smart. I see the Van Lith argument. The difference there is that this guy legitimately might be one of the best pitchers in baseball over the next 10 years. And I think they are choosing the pathway of how do we give him a platform? That people tune into it's not going to work. It's like the hockey thing with the Four Nations. Everybody's like, man, this is great. They're fighting. Hockey's such a fun sport. Are you going to watch any more hockey? No. We all know the answer to that. But it's good for the moment. And you're like, hey, everybody's talking about the sport. This guy comes in and goes 3 up, 3 down and strikes out the side in the All-Star game. Everybody will have the same, like, have you watched him pitch yet? Have you seen any of his highlights?
I've just seen his highlights. The only reason I know his name is because I've seen his highlights on SportsCenter. Because when I'm in my home gym, I put SportsCenter on mute.
Yeah. And the Miz, it's a catchy nickname, right? It's one that you'll remember, and you mentioned the WWE star that has the same nickname. I think that's their hope of let's give this young guy a platform and maybe more people will care to follow him. I don't think it's going to work for him, but I'm glad at least baseball's doing something. Look, the Philly players are fine to gripe.
Suarez is 7-3 with a 1.9 ERA.
He's having a good year,
dude. I'd be
pretty
pissed, too.
I would be, too. The Giants had a relief pitcher make the All-Star game. It's not even a closer. You know how rare that is? Randy Rodriguez is a middle reliever, and he made the All-Star game. So I don't really know how any of this is working. Mm. But whenever they do something to be smart about promoting young stars, I'm all for it. And this guy seems to be can't miss.
Is the All-Star in baseball, you guys help me with this real quick, and then we'll go. Is All-Star in baseball becoming Pro Bowl in the NFL?
There's a little bit of that for sure.
Because it feels like I'm seeing a lot of replacements.
There's a lot of replacements.
Like Julio, I think, is backing out of this, right?
Julio backed out, so Randy Arozarena could be in.
Okay, all right.
But Julio, like, he's also already...
He said he wants to focus on the second half.
Because he's already done it a bunch, right? And he was kind of getting ripped for being...
Has he done it a bunch?
I think he's been twice.
Every year of his career. That's every year of his career so far. He has been voted
into
the All-Star.
He was not an All-Star last year. Will Ortner.
Apologize. 2 out of 3.
Wow. Are you kidding me?
He's
been in the All-Star game twice.
He's been in the league for 3.
Yeah.
This is twice. Four.
Twice.
Apologize.
2 times is too many times to go to an All-Star
last
game? Really?
Last year he wasn't in it, and you're like, he's been in it every year.
I think he was in like $1.90 going into July. He had a good second half last year. He got off to that horrific start?
He just got hot,
being
too.
Being at it twice does not, I don't think, put you at a level of saying, I'm tired
that's
of
like
doing
one of these old guys.
He's 66% on All-Star games.
Yeah,
know,
that's
but he's
good.
Only been twice.
Now he's 75%.
But you're acting like him sitting out is him the equivalent of being in the All-Star game for like 12 straight years.
I've been a decade straight. Let some kid take my spot.
I'm look up how many years Cal Ripken old. Jr.
75%.
Made the All-Star game.
I think Cal Ripken was in the All-Star game every year of his career, essentially.
Oh, easy
but
there, buddy.
He was
in his last year.
He was known for not missing All-Star games. He was known for not missing games.
I mean, I think when you get an invite as an All-Star, you should always go because you never know.
Bro, he was a 19-time All-Star.
Well, Julio might get there. Julio's young.
He's already choosing to sit out.
He doesn't want to go play. There is something to that, though, because I think they have a rule where every team has to be represented.
Yeah.
So, like, there
that,
will
that
be.
That was put in a couple years ago.
There will be a Rocky in the All-Star game. There should be.
I've seen that kid. I forget the kid's name.
Who's going?
I forget what position, but they announced his name, and somebody looked up his stats, and he's batting like 202.
He's having a 202.
Like, I think he has 14 dingers.
That guy's in the All-Star game.
Hunter Goodman.
Hunter Goodman.
Their catcher.
Couldn't tell you who that is for $1 million. What's the name of the Rockies catcher? Couldn't tell you. We played him like 8 times.
When did we start deciding participation trophy for every team? What a bad decision.
It's one of those we feel like every city has to be represented,
which is
really dumb. Really dumb.
No, you don't.
I wish the NBA would do that, because I was thinking this on my drive in.
We will talk Blazers.
When's the next time the Blazers have an All-Star?
This year. Young Hansen.
I mean, he probably will get the Chinese vote to get in.
Ordner has a 200-to-1 rookie of the year bet on this kid.
It's already looking pretty nice.
It's looking good. Cash it in. What's the buyout offer right now?
I'll pull it up in the break. I'll look.
Are they offering?
They're not
more?
Offering a buyout.
Buyout time.
No, they're not offering.
You seen those passes? It is All Star Week, though. Welcome to All Star Week, everybody.
It is All Star Week. It's here. Is the home run derby tonight?
I was literally just going to ask that.
Yep, tonight.
Because it was on our show sheet, but our producer sometimes gets his dates wrong.
He
and I
absolutely does. I'm excited to watch it, though, tonight.
Okay.
See the big dumper hit some bombs.
All right.
Go take some dumps all over Atlanta.
We have a lot more to get into. We'll get into the Blazers stuff at the top. I got a 6:45 segment right up our alley, Baked with Brandon.
Nope.
I'll walk you through what that is. So, Dirt and Sprague, we're back with more. But first, Ortner with a sports update.
Well, my mama told me.
Pretty big news while we were gone, and it happened late last week. Clips came back.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. I have no clue what you're talking about.
The rap group?
The rap group Clips?
Pusha T, Malice?
No, I
Grindin.
Got No, I got no clips.
You don't remember Grindin?
I mean, I probably remember the song, but I don't remember the band.
They had more than one song.
I know, yeah.
Do they have more than one song?
I'm just trying to reference a song you might.
Probably a couple albums.
Yeah, I'd probably remember that song. I don't remember anything about that band, though.
It was
the group. Singers.
Rap duo.
Rap duet. I got nothing for you.
All right, well, we'll move on from that.
Let's go ahead and change that.
We're not going to linger there much longer.
That was a brief moment ahead. Did I miss real breaking news last week? Clippers? What did the Clippers do? That was where my head was going. And then I was drawing blanks. I got nothing for you.
I will not. I'm not going to participate in the quarterback chatter today.
How dare you? Let's rank them. Top five. Give them to me now.
They're debating 8 and 9 on that list as we speak.
You know, Dak did drop off. So did CJ Stroud.
Jared Goff at 8. Jalen Hurts at 9. Who do you prefer?
How is Lamar 6th?
Yeah, that's inexcusable.
Now, he's not actually 6th, but how did somebody really list their quarterbacks and put him 6th?
Somebody put 5 other guys ahead of him.
It has to be an all-time hate. I just want to meet the person. I don't even want to engage. I just want to meet the person to go, that's an all-time hater.
Yeah, that's probably somebody in the Atlanta Falcons organization who thought, we don't want that guy, and then he went out and won another MVP, and you signed Kirk Cousins.
Somebody on the Saints. We don't need this guy.
You started Desmond Ridder the next year in Atlanta. That was your thought of quarterback, and he was available for trade. You could have got him, but you just didn't want to pay him.
It is that time of year, though.
It is great. I love ranking quarterbacks is one of my favorite things to do.
Now, did you look at other positions?
I did not. No.
I saw it this morning when I woke up. I went to ESPN, and I'm like, oh, we got a list.
Love a good ranking.
I do, too. This one's from execs, coaches, and scouts. And so they have it broken down by position. And so they have running backs, DTs, edges, receivers, or receivers is coming out in a couple days, but tight ends, offensive linemen, quarterbacks got released.
Yeah, go ahead and begin. Tell me who are your top 10 offensive linemen in the NFL, Brandon Sprague?
I'm not going to.
You want to break that one down for
no,
me?
No, because I'm always honest about that. I'll say that's a good group.
It's like, that seems like a good offensive line.
I'm not a guy that tells you who all the interior offensive linemen are, unless it's like maybe somebody that's important to me on my team.
Sure, somebody that plays for your team or somebody there's a connection to. Like Penei Sewell, I know, very good at playing offensive line in the NFL. Where does he rank, though, in the Pantheon? I have no idea.
I'm engaging with the list despite what I just said.
I mean, it's fun to do. I give them a lot of credit. Jalen Hurts not being higher than 9, round of applause. Round of applause.
Really?
Round of applause, dude. It is so easy to get caught up, and he won a Super Bowl. He was great in big games. He's been a good quarterback in his NFL career. Hmm. Sometimes my thoughts on Jalen Hurts get viewed as slander, but mainly it's just throwing cold water on the he's a top 3 guy in the NFL. Like, there's not a GM alive that if you say, who would you rather have, Mahomes or Jalen Hurts, would take Jalen Hurts, or Josh Allen, or Joe Burrow, or Lamar Jackson. The list goes on and on and on. And so he is you want to put him in the top 10, that's fine. I think it's a debatable one. It's so easy to get caught up in the moment and act like he's better than Lamar Jackson when he certainly is not.
Herbert wasn't even ranked, according to one person.
Of course not, dude. Get him out of there.
Stafford wasn't ranked, but he comes in at 6.
Yeah, how are you not ranking? I don't understand that. How do you not rank them? You don't think they're top 10 quarterbacks?
I don't know who these people are. Goff wasn't ranked.
Yeah.
This is lowest ranking, sure. Their highest ranking, and then what their actual ranking is.
Because Goff ended up at 8, Herbert ended up at 7, and Stafford ended up at 6.
We can get into this later in the show, because we got Jan Hansen to talk about, and I want to get baked with Brandon. I'll ask you this, and then we can bring it back when we talk about it again. Who would you rather have, Joe Burrow or Lamar Jackson? I'll put a poll question up at Dirt and Sprague. I think most people are going to end up voting one.
I'd probably vote Joe Burrow. He's higher ranked. I think you're splitting hairs in the short term. The only thing about him would be, are you asking me for a year or for the next 10 years?
Just your franchise quarterback.
I just would choose Burrow because, this is ironic, because the guy has been incredibly banged up in his career.
Yeah.
But I look at the longevity of it, like in 8 years, who do I still see playing at an elite level? And there's always that fear with running quarterbacks. I think you're splitting hairs. The guy's got 2 MVPs, been in the playoffs every year, and if Mark Andrews catches a pass, they beat the Bills and go to the AFC title game last year.
I saw one of these aggregate accounts on Twitter post worst play for every team last year, and they got this entirely wrong. There were plays I'm like, that. There's no way that's the team's worst play.
Yeah.
Like the Falcons was a catch, hit, ball goes in air, Giants pick it out of the air and then take it down. I'm like, I watched Kirk Cousins throw an end zone interception pick 6 against the Chargers. I watched that.
He was pretty bad last year.
Kirk Cousins was terrible. There's no way that's their worst play. Anyways, the one for the Ravens was the Andrews one. And I know, we talked about it in the moment. Pretty good throw.
If Lamar can win the big one, Mark Andrews catches that ball. But Lamar can't win the big one.
If his clutch gene was bigger,
if he
Andrews
had a bigger clutch gene,
ball.
He would have put a little bit of the gene on the ball before he threw it to Mark Andrews, and then Mark Andrews makes the play.
Wouldn't
Andrews,
that make it slippery?
he did.
You know, that ball was like a block of ice.
Lack of clutch gene made the ball slippery, and Andrews just couldn't make the play.
Maybe too much clutch gene made it more slippery.
Oh, it just got spilled all over the ball.
You can bring it in. I mean, those gloves are sticky, but
how tight was that huddle for him to put all that clutch gene all over that football?
Have to be a pretty tight huddle.
That's got to be a tight huddle, yeah.
Tighten those gaps so nobody can see in that huddle.
Didn't he have to run to the bathroom one time because of too much clutch gene?
He had to take crap. He pooped his pants. He came back and won the game.
He pooped his pants in Cleveland.
That was a Cleveland game, right?
It was. He ran into the tunnel. Everybody thought he was hurt. He just had to poop his pants.
Now, they won that game, didn't they? Wasn't that like an overtime game?
Fairly confident that they won that game.
That was a good game. I remember it.
I think that was still Baker Mayfield Cleveland, if I'm not mistaken.
I think you're right.
I think that was a couple of years ago. Yeah, I didn't actually have any issues with the top 10. I think we're doing kind of doing the same thing that we did last year with some of the young guys. Like, I don't know if after 1 year I'm okay ranking a young quarterback that high on a list.
Oh, he's pretty high.
He's had an unbelievable year. I just prefer a slightly larger sample size.
He's getting
size.
The C.J. Stroud treatment.
Yeah. And then,
Stroud got this last year, and now he's not even in it.
Now he's not even in the top 10.
Crazy.
So he has fallen out. So that's my only critique of it. Other than that, I had no other issues with it.
Baked with Brandon. Thoughts from what happened last week? I'll bring those to you next on The Fan.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
So I'm watching the debut of Jan Hansen, which we'll talk about coming up at the top of the hour. And got home like literally 10 minutes before, just in time. And I sat down. It's the end of my day. I've been busy all day. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to mellow out a little bit here, and I'm going to enjoy this experience.
It's a nice little Friday night sitting at home.
And so in doing this, I wrote down some notes for myself for the show for
Monday.
High
with Brandon notes on Jan Hansen.
Baked thoughts with Brandon is what I called it.
This is a great new segment. We're going to have to tie in. Who's the food sponsor with Baked with Brandon? What's your go-to munchie?
Well, in the morning, it'd be a hash brown with an egg and sausage of some
sort. How often do you wake and bake, though? That's an early bake.
Only on vacation.
Only when I don't have to get up and work.
Only when I don't have to work. So here's the first one. Is it too much to ask a summer league game to start on time?
No, that's not too much, especially when the start time is 7:30, and then I think it was supposed to be 7:30, and it ended up being 7:45-ish.
So that, yeah, it was supposed to be 8. It was actually 8:20, yeah, 8:30.
That's right.
The game the next day was against the Grizzlies. That was a 7:30 tip, and it didn't tip until 8:20.
Yeah, that one was super late.
So, like, what are we doing, Summer League? Move these games along. Have a running clock. I don't care. Stop telling me the tip time, and then start an hour after that tip time.
It's an insanely late start time.
It's so stupid.
Game at 8:30 at night. Like, I know you're in Vegas and everybody's having a good time. 8:30 is way too late.
Another one I had. I love Tim Legler. Legs. He's one of my favorites. I don't think he watched the Trailblazers last year, and I hate to say that out loud because, again, I love Tim Legler.
Yeah.
But you cannot get on a broadcast and just tout Shaedon Sharpe the entire way as this player who had some incredible year. He did that the whole game.
He did.
He kept naming players. They barely mentioned Tumani's name, and he just kept Shaedon Sharpe. Shaedon, he's not just a highlight guy. I'm like, he shot 30%. What did we watch?
Can I? I will go ahead and add on top of that. I think you're 100% correct. I also don't think Mark Jones watched a single NBA or Blazer game last year. He kept calling Ryan Rupert early,
and then
in the
he
game.
Had a good game, and he yeah. changed it midway through the game,
halfway through the second quarter. All of a sudden, he's Rupert. So I did enjoy that. I would also add for Legler, he is an ESPN NBA analyst. That's what he gets paid to do.
He's a great one at that.
How many times on all of his ESPN NBA hits did he get asked about the Portland Trailblazers?
I'm with you 100%. I'm giving him a little bit of a break, but it was just like, it was too much Shaedon Sharpe. I'm like, dude, stop.
Even when he was interviewing Chauncey, there was a funny moment.
Chauncey was like,
I had to bench him because he didn't play any defense, and then, then I brought him back in the lineup.
And you know what's funny about that is that happened after Legler had mentioned that he's a pretty good defender, and I'm like, oh, no.
Pretty good defender, man. He's bringing it on both ends of the floor.
Love your legs.
I don't think he watched any Blazer games, and I think he's having fun in Vegas. And he's like, wait, you want me to go to Vegas for Summer League? All right, I'll go call some games.
And the last one, well, it's not the last one, but it's the one time-wise I can give you. Why are some second-year guys playing and others are not? Alex Saar, Jalen Wells, Ron freaking Holland, the fifth pick in last year. Why are these guys playing and Donovan Klingon isn't? Did Donovan Klingon achieve something last year that I'm missing?
He was, dude.
Like, why is Donovan Klingon not out there playing for 10 minutes?
This is what we did with Scoot Henderson last year. Remember, we were all why isn't Scoot was kind of bad? Why didn't he play?
I don't get why some teams play their second guys and second year guys, and we are a franchise that just largely chooses not to.
He also struggled with what in his rookie year? Conditioning. You know,
he looks like he's in good shape.
You know what helps with your conditioning a little bit? Getting out and running and real basketball.
I want an experienced guy out there busting a young player's ass.
I love that Rupert is still playing in year three, by the way. That made me think, how many years is that guy going to play in Summer League?
Well, he had a good first game, and the second game was
what's the record for most Summer Leagues that a guy's actually gone? Like, not like I'm trying to make a team, so I'm bouncing around, but like with one organization, has anybody played in four?
I don't know if it's been with one organization, but we have a guy that we signed, Bouknight.
Sure, that's what I'm not talking about. Like, journeyman, I think, are different. Yeah. Like, he was a second round pick.
Yep,
he's been in NBA games. This is his third Summer League.
Yeah,
if he gets an invite back next year, at that point, you should just retire, right?
I mean, he had a good first game. That second game is pretty
bad. Like, if you're going into year three and you're in the NBA and you're still playing in the Summer League, you should probably choose a new path.
I would ride that out until they told me I couldn't come
just
anymore.
Just keep hooping until you can't hoop no more?
Yeah. If I was invited back, I'd be like, all right, that's it. That's the end of my journey. I'd be Drew Timmy.
Would you just be Timmy hanging out? Give me a G League? I'm going to go play in Cedar Rapids and make $8,000 a year? That
I know you saw
great.
That dunk on Alex Saar yesterday.
I did not see that dunk on
he
Alex
yammed
Saar.
On it.
Did he? On Alex Saar?
Like, surprisingly, you'll go, Drew Timmy can do that?
Drew Timmy can get up like that?
But Ron Holland had a better career, had a better rookie year than Donovan Klingon did.
Unquestionably.
And he's out there playing. Jalen Wells started for the Grizzlies. He's out there playing.
I got nothing for you, Bob.
I don't get it.
I got nothing for you. Maybe it's a 20 minutes a night. His head's going to fall off.
Oh, it's too much.
They don't want the head to fall off.
That Vegas heat gets to you.
Got
to
let him hold it until game one, and then he can go 20 minutes a night.
And I'll say this going into the second hour. The second that ball hit the ground on that first pass, the fan base, it was over for it. Was done. That was signed, sealed, delivered on that cut back. Backdoor-ish pass from Young Hansen at the first play of the game. And with that, we will lead the second hour. Young Hansen is lighting the world in Portland on fire. We will talk about that loaded hour two, Dirt and Sprague, on the Odyssey app, The Fan, and YouTube.
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.